Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 5, Chapter 1. Christ alone is able to teach divine things and to redeem us. He, the same, took flesh of the Virgin Mary, not merely in appearance, but actually, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, in order to renovate us. Strictures on the Conceits of Valentinus and Ebion. For in no other way could we have learned the things of God, unless our Master, existing as the Word, had become man. For no other being had the power of revealing to us the things of the Father, except his own proper Word. For what other person knew the mind of the Lord, or who else has become his counselor? Again, we could have learned in no other way than by seeing our teacher and hearing his voice with our own ears, that, having become imitators of his works, as well as doers of his words, we may have communion with him, receiving increase from the Perfect One, and from him who is prior to all creation. We, who were but lately created by the only best and good being, by him also who has the gift of immortality, having been formed after his likeness, predestinated according to the prescience of the Father, that we, who had as yet no existence, might come into being, and, made the first fruits of creation, have received, in the times known beforehand, the blessings of salvation according to the ministration of the Word, who is perfect in all things, as the mighty Word and true man, who, redeeming us by his own blood in a manner consonant to reason, gave himself as a redemption for those who had been led into captivity. And since the apostasy tyrannized over us unjustly, and though we were by nature the property of the omnipotent God, alienated us contrary to nature, rendering us its own disciples, the Word of God, powerful in all things, and not defective with regard to his own justice, did righteously turn against that apostasy, and redeem from it his own property, not by violent means, as the apostasy had obtained dominion over us at the beginning, when it insatiably snatched away what was not its own, but by means of persuasion, as became a God of counsel, who does not use violent means to obtain what he desires, so that neither should justice be infringed upon, nor the ancient handiwork of God go to destruction. Since the Lord has thus redeemed us through his own blood, giving his soul for our souls, and his flesh for our flesh, and has also poured out the Spirit of the Father for the union and communion of God and man, imparting indeed God to men by means of the Spirit, and on the other hand, attaching man to God by his own incarnation, and bestowing upon us at his coming immortality, durably and truly, by means of communion with God, all the doctrines of the heretics fall into ruin. Vain indeed are those who allege that he appeared in mere seeming. For these things were not done in appearance only, but in actual reality. But if he did appear as a man when he was not a man, neither could the Holy Spirit have rested upon him, an occurrence which did actually take place, as the Spirit is invisible. Nor was there any degree of truth in him, for he was not that which he seemed to be. But I have already remarked that Abraham and the other prophets beheld him after a prophetical manner, foretelling in future what should come to pass. But I have already remarked that Abraham and the other prophets beheld him after a prophetical manner, foretelling in vision what should come to pass. If, then, such a being has now appeared in outward semblance different from what he was in reality, there has been a certain prophetical vision made to men, and another coming of his must be looked forward to, in which he shall be such as he has now been seen in a prophetic manner. And I have proved already that it is the same thing to say that he appeared merely to outward seeming, and to affirm that he received nothing from Mary. For he would not have been one truly possessing flesh and blood, by which he redeemed us, unless he had summed up in himself the ancient formation of Adam. Vain, therefore, are the disciples of Valentinus who put forth this opinion, in order that they may exclude the flesh from salvation, and cast aside what God has fashioned. Vain also are the Ebionites, who do not receive by faith into their soul the union of God and man, but who remain in the old leaven of the natural birth, and who do not choose to understand that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and the power of the Most High did overshadow her. Wherefore also what was generated is a holy thing, and the Son of the Most High God, the Father of all, who effected the incarnation of this being, and showed forth a new generation, that as by the former generation we inherited death, so by this new generation we might inherit life. Therefore do these men reject the commixture of the heavenly wine, and wish it to be water of the world only, not receiving God, so as to have union with him. But they remain in that Adam who had been conquered and was expelled from paradise, not considering that as at the beginning of our formation in Adam, that breath of life which proceeded from God, having been united to what had been fashioned, animated the man, and manifested him as a being endowed with reason. So also, in the end, the Word of the Father and the Spirit of God, having become united with the ancient substance of Adam's formation, rendered man living and perfect, receptive of the perfect Father, in order that, as in the natural Adam we all were dead, so in the spiritual we may all be made alive. For never at any time did Adam escape the hands of God, to whom the Father speaking said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And for this reason, in the last times, not by the will of the flesh nor by the will of man, but by the good pleasure of the Father, his hands formed a living man, in order that Adam might be created again after the image and likeness of God. Chapter 2. When Christ visited us in his grace, he did not come to what did not belong to him. Also, by shedding his true blood for us, and exhibiting to us his true flesh in the Eucharist, he conferred upon our flesh the capacity of salvation. And vain likewise are those who say that God came to those things which did not belong to him, as if covetous of another's property, in order that he might deliver up that man who had been created by another, to that God who had neither made nor formed anything, but who also was deprived from the beginning of his own proper formation of men. The advent, then, therefore, of him whom these men represent as coming to the things of others was not righteous. Nor did he truly redeem us by his own blood if he did not really become man, restoring to his own handiwork what was said in the beginning, that man was made after the image and likeness of God. Not snatching away by stratagem the property of another, but taking possession of his own in a righteous and gracious manner. As far as concerned the apostasy, indeed, he redeems us righteously from it by his own blood. But as regards us who have been redeemed, he does this graciously. For we have done nothing to him. For we have given nothing to him previously, nor does he desire anything from us. As if he stood in need of it. But we do stand in need of fellowship with him. And for this reason it was that he graciously poured himself out, that he might gather us into the bosom of the Father. But vain in every respect are they who despise the entire dispensation of God and disallow the salvation of the flesh, and treat with contempt its regeneration, maintaining that it is not capable of incorruption. But if this indeed do not attain salvation, then neither did the Lord redeem us with his blood, nor is the cup of the Eucharist the communion of his blood, nor the bread which we break the communion of his body. For blood can only come from veins and flesh, and whatever else makes up the substance of man, such as the Word of God was actually made. By his own blood he redeemed us, as also his apostle declares, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins. And as we are his members, we are also nourished by means of the creation. And he himself grants the creation to us, for he causes his sun to rise and sends rain when he wills. He has acknowledged the cup, which is a part of creation, as his own blood, from which he bedews our blood, and the bread, also a part of his creation, he has established as his own body, from which he gives increase to our bodies. When, therefore, the mingled cup and the manufactured bread receives the word of God, and the Eucharist of the blood and the body of Christ is made, from which things the substance of our flesh is increased and supported, how can they affirm that the flesh is incapable of receiving the gift of God, which is life eternal? Which flesh is nourished from the body and blood of the Lord, and is a member of him? Even as the blessed Paul declares in his epistle to the Ephesians, that we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. He does not speak these words of some spiritual and invisible man, for a spirit does not have bones or flesh. But he refers to that dispensation by which the Lord became an actual man, consisting of flesh and nerves and bone. That which is nourished by the cup which is his blood, and receives increase from the bread which is his body. And just as a cutting from the vine planted in the ground fructifies in its season, or a grain of wheat falling into the earth and becoming decomposed rises with manifold increase by the Spirit of God, who contains all things, and then through the wisdom of God serves for the use of men, and having received the Word of God becomes the Eucharist, which is the body and blood of Christ, so also our bodies, being nourished by it, and deposited in the earth, and suffering decomposition there, shall rise at their appointed time, the Word of God granting them resurrection to the glory of God, even the Father, who freely gives to this mortal immortality, and this corruptible incorruption. because the strength of God is made perfect in weakness, in order that we may never become puffed up, as if we had life from ourselves, and exalted against God, our minds becoming ungrateful. But learning by experience that we possess eternal duration from the excelling power of His being, not from our own nature, we may neither undervalue that glory which surrounds God as He is, nor be ignorant of our own nature, but that we may know what God can effect, and what benefits man receives, and thus never wander from the true comprehension of things as they are, that is, both with regard to God and with regard to man. And might it not be the case, perhaps, as I have already observed, that for this purpose God permitted our resolution into the common dust of mortality? That we, being instructed by every mode, may be accurate in all things for the future, being ignorant neither of God nor of ourselves? End of chapter 2.